The Jews have always believed in their sacred stories, that they contain many meanings and often retold the tales in ways that are very different than the original story. The most important day, for example, which you just heard, is a retelling of the original creation story from the book of Genesis. This mining and excavating the sacred text for new and deeper meanings is called Midrash. There is a rich tradition of storytelling in Judaism because of their devotion to Midrash. In another Jewish Midrash, the story of Adam and Eve is revisioned. We know the story well about the apple and the serpent and Eve being seduced and then seducing Adam and then being expelled from the garden. I use it as the story of coming of age in the church that I served in Deerfield prior to coming here. And it's a story of the birth of human consciousness and adult responsibility. But in another Jewish Midrash, the story in Adam and Eve is revisioned. It is suggested that Adam and Eve might never have been expelled from the Garden of Eden if they had only been more patient and waited for a few more hours to eat that famous apple from the tree of knowledge. It's written that if Adam and Eve had waited until the beginning of a Sabbath, the seventh day, the day of rest, they would have safely eaten from the fruit of the tree of knowledge by eating it together with the fruit from the other forbidden tree in the garden, the tree of life. In contrast to the tree of knowledge that is the source of all opposites, such as good and evil, life and death, truth and falsehood, as well as the source of self-assertion and separation, the tree of life symbolizes the unity of everything and an awareness of our inseparability from the web of life. The tree of life in Judaism is often pictured as a tree turned upside down, whose roots grow in heaven and whose branches hold the universe containing the earth and all of creation. It is only then on the Sabbath, the Jewish day of rest, are we given an opportunity to eat from this upside down tree and experience life as oneness. On the Sabbath, creation is restored to its roots in heaven. For by not doing on the Sabbath and simply being or resting, we experience what is most sacred. We return to God, that is to say, the ground of all creation. The Hebrew word for Sabbath comes from the root word shav, which means to return or be restored, a homecoming. On the Sabbath, the day of rest, which is our Sunday, we are each given a chance to return to the garden of paradise, that is Eden, so that we might be restored by the tree of life. And now I want to invite a little audience participation, a kind of call response. When I hold up my hand like this, I want you to say with great enthusiasm, "Remember the Sabbath." Let's try that. Perfect. It will help keep you awake and attentive, and especially the children and the children of all ages. In the relentless busyness of modern life, we have lost the rhythm between work and rest. All life requires a rhythm of rest. There is a rhythm in the way day dissolves into night and night into morning. There is a rhythm as the active growth of spring and summer is quieted by the necessary dormancy of fall and winter. There is a tidal rhythm, a deep, eternal conversation between land and the great sea. In our bodies, the heart rests after each heartbeat. The lungs rest between the exhale and the inhale. We have lost this essential rhythm. Our culture teaches us that action and accomplishment are better than rest, that doing something, anything, is better than doing nothing. Because of our desire to succeed, to meet these ever-growing expectations, we do not rest. Because we do not rest, we lose our way. We miss the compass points that would show us where to go. We bypass the nourishment that would give us strength. We miss the quiet that would give us wisdom. We miss the joy and love born of effortless delight, poisoned by the belief that good things come only through unceasing determination and tireless effort. We can never truly rest. And for want of rest, our lives are in danger. In our drive for success, we are seduced by the promises of more and more money, more recognition, more satisfaction, more love, more influence, more toys, more security, more and more information. Even when our intentions are noble and our efforts sincere, even when we dedicate our lives to help others, the pressure of frantic overactivity can cause suffering in ourselves and others.
Remember the Sabbath.
A so-called successful life has become a violent enterprise. We wage war on our own bodies, pushing them beyond their own limits, war on our children because we cannot find enough time to be with them when they are hurt and afraid and need our company. War on our spirit because we are too busy to listen to the quiet voices that speak to nourish and refresh us. War on our communities because we are fearfully protecting what we have and do not feel safe enough to be kind and generous. War on the earth because we cannot take the time to place our feet on the ground and allow it to feed us, to taste its blessings and give thanks.
Remember the Sabbath.
We are a good and compassionate people who have become so very tired, overwhelmed and overworked that we have neither the time nor the capacity to listen to the deeper voices that speak to the essence of the problems that lie before us. But without the essential nutrients of rest and wisdom and delight as part of the problem-solving process itself, the solutions we come to, the ones we patch together, are likely to be an obstacle to genuine relief. How did we get so terribly lost in a world so full of striving and grasping, yet somehow without joy and delight? We have forgotten the Sabbath.
Remember the Sabbath.